Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to see everyone this morning. For the last few years on our Resurrection Sunday, I've started it with the same proclamation, and I'm going to continue to do that. I continue to repeat it because it is truth. It is what I believe as a follower of Jesus Christ, and it is what this church stands on. And so we come this morning just like we do every Sunday morning, but we come this morning proclaiming that Christ is Lord. We come proclaiming and we are here celebrating that Christ is alive. We just sang that. Christ is our living hope. He is alive. We as the church proclaim that Christ died on a cross. He then defeated death and then he rose from the grave. Amen. We come proclaiming that Jesus is better than anything. And everyone who has ever tried anything other than Jesus always comes up short. Jesus is better than anything. That he is Lord over all, that Christ is in control despite what you see on the news over and over and what feeds your mind through your social media. Christ is in control. He's in control of all history. We come proclaiming that Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. He's everything that you need. And you can continue to try to fill it with stuff and material wealth and things and relationships and this and that, but Christ is the one who is sufficient for all of our needs. We come proclaiming that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us. He is our living hope. If you're a follower of Jesus, Christ is at the right hand. He is alive. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And because of what Christ did for us on the cross, we can, just as Hebrews 4:16 tells us and states, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." We can go to him. Christ is risen from the grave. Amen? Amen. We do not serve a God who is dead. We do not serve a wooden statue. We serve a living God. And here's the cool thing. There is proof. If you have doubts and you're like, well, is this just a story? There is proof of him being seen by so many hundreds of people after he rose from the grave. We serve a Christ who was seen by more than 500 witnesses after he was crucified. Paul talks of this in 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it to you, just in case you have any doubts. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and then he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me on the road to Damascus." He appeared to Paul. We praise God for Jesus. We praise and celebrate and thank him for going to the cross. We praise God for providing a way of salvation through Christ. And here's the good news. Tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, we praise him again. Next Sunday morning, why couldn't it be this full, right? Because next Sunday, we're going to gather together as a church and praise him again for what he did for us on the cross. We get to praise him over and over, and I always say this, we don't praise him for the cross and then for rising from the grave just one day a year. We praise him forever. We get to praise him forever. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time together as the body of Christ coming together on this Resurrection Sunday. But God, we do this, we pray, we sing praises to you every week, every Sunday that we gather. And we are so thankful for the cross. We are so thankful for you rising from the grave. And we celebrate that. We sing these songs to you, Christ, our living hope. God, speak to us this morning through your word. This is your truth. It is powerful. It is hope. And I pray for those that are here this morning that are struggling, that they are looking for hope, that they are dealing with anxiety and depression, and they've been looking for so long for hope. I pray that you would grab a hold of their hearts this morning.
that the gospel would reach out to them, that you would call to them, that they would respond in faith and find salvation in you. I pray for believers that we would be encouraged, we would be reminded of what you did for us, that it would bring us to our knees in a sense in thanksgiving. It would overwhelm us, be reminding of us of your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, again, thank you for being here. I know friends and family members, and our church is currently walking through a series in the book of Acts, and we were going to jump back in there next week, but this morning I want us to look at a passage in the book of Ephesians as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 this morning. If you would like to turn there in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 7. See, Paul found Christ on the Damascus Road. His life was completely changed and turned upside down as he found salvation in Jesus Christ. And he surrendered and was called to the ministry, and he went and he proclaimed Jesus. We're seeing that in the book of Acts as we walk through that, as he journeyed and followed the Great Commission and went to tell people about Jesus. And one of the things that Paul wanted the early church to understand was to never stop thinking about, to never stop worshiping, never stop praising God for his unmeasurable power. He's like, never forget about the power of Jesus. Why? Here's the reason, and I hope you're reminded of this morning, because for the believer, okay, hear this very carefully, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, the same power that God used to raise Christ from the grave is available for us. Did you hear that? The same power that God used to raise Christ from the grave is available for us. But for many Christians, and many probably of us in this room this morning that claim that they're a believer in Jesus, that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, many of us we're kind of unplugged from that source. Many of us are, I mean, honestly, we're lazy. We're not disciplined in our faith. We're not spending time abiding in him. Many of us have habitual sin that is unconfessed. Many of us do not have this kind of intimate relationship with Jesus. We're not plugged in to the power source. Some of us in this room we're completely unplugged because we're lost. Paul wanted the Ephesian church to be reminded that in Christ they have the power. In Christ, Christians, they have victory because of Christ's absolute lordship. Earlier in that book, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So remember, Christ is the creator of all things. Jesus is the Lord of the entire universe, but God also appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. What an incredible promise and truth. For those of us that are in Christ, the Father has given Christ to the church to be the head of the church. And so as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, those of us in Christ celebrate Christ's absolute lordship. Okay, that's one of the things that we're celebrating. That's what we celebrate every time we gather together. We're celebrating Christ's absolute lordship. We celebrate and worship. Why do we do this? Why do we worship? Why do we as Christians, those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, those of us who have truly come to the end of ourselves, knowing that we needed a Savior, knowing that Jesus is the only way to salvation, knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, that he rose from a grave, why do we worship? Why do we do this? Why do we celebrate? Why do we thank God for the cross? Here's one of the things why we do it is because we understand, we know that we were once dead, and now that we're alive. I mean, isn't that why? Doesn't that put a smile on your face if you're a believer? That's why, I mean, we are reminded of that when we sing songs about the cross, when we look at passages about the cross, we are saying, thank you, Jesus. because I have life, because I know that I was once dead. I have life, and I'm giving you all the glory, and I'm praising you for it, and I'm thanking you for the cross, because I know that I was once dead, and now in Jesus I have found life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read that for us, and then we're going to jump into this passage. And I hope and I pray that you, as Christians, will be reminded of what he did for you. And I hope that if you are not a believer this morning, that you will see that Christ does provide a way of salvation, that you can find life, that you can move from death to life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." What an incredible passage. What an incredible passage. Moving from death to life. If you've known me very long, you know that one of my favorite places to be is in the mountains. It's in the mountains. And there, when I was a little kid, my parents took me to Colorado for the first time. And I know there's mountains everywhere, but that was the first mountains I really saw. And I fell in love with them. We did not climb any of those mountains. We just kind of drove, and we would pull off, and I'd take pictures, and it was incredible. And I've always loved it. I know some people are beach people. That's awesome. You know, the ocean is incredible to stare at and see. And I know some people are lake people. You know, I mean, it's just like we have our places, but like that's where I want to be is in the mountains. And to that's where I am just reminded and over of God's power. Climbing those mountains can be difficult. They can be grueling. They can make you tired. They make your legs sore. But when you finally get to the top of a peak of any place, even if it's Mount Scott in Oklahoma or wherever, once you climb to the top of a mountain and finally get there, find a place to sit, you pull out your lunch, you then see this incredible view. It was a tough hike, but at the top, what a beautiful view that we get to see. You get to see the mountain lakes. You get to see the other mountains surrounding you. There's a mountain in California called Mount Whitney. I've never seen it, never been there, never hiked it. But it is at the top. It's 14,500 feet. It's the highest point in the continental United States. And from that top, you get to see the lush and the beautiful and the mountain lakes and all those things. You feel the cool air and you see the views. But here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about that mountain. Just 80 miles from there, from the top of that mountain, just 80 miles from this incredible, beautiful picture in the cool air and the mountain lakes, just 80 miles from that highest point is a place called Death Valley. That place is 280 feet below sea level. Record temperatures of 134 degrees in the shade. What a contrast. Beautiful mountain peak. 80 miles from there, Death Valley. What a contrast, so close to each other. And as we look at this passage this morning that I just read, as we look at what God is showing us in these first few verses of Ephesians, Paul gives us a picture kind of like that, this incredible contrast, the most incredible contrast. In verses 1 through 3, Paul takes us down to Death Valley, which is death in our sins. But then in verses 4 through 7, guess what he does? He takes us right back up to the mountaintop. Life in Christ. So let's go on that journey together this morning. And I promise you, if you'll listen and you'll allow your heart to hear it, you're going to hear the most incredible good news you've ever heard in your life. From Death Valley to the top of the mountain. So first, what we see in verses 1 through 3 is we see something that's not fun to look at, and that is death. Paul begins this journey at the bottom. Look at verse 1. He says it outright. He says it very clearly. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. This statement is not a figure of speech. He is saying that to those believers, you know, the church that's listening and hearing and reading this letter, he's reminding them, he's saying, believers, any Christian, that, you know, just like us that say we are Christians, we before Jesus, we were absolutely dead. We were spiritually dead. He's talking about a spiritual death. Any lost person is spiritual death. And if you're a believer in Christ, you were once dead. And that's one reason we're just like overwhelmed as we think about what Jesus did for us. And so Paul is talking also, you know, he's talking to people without Christ. Anyone who does not have a relationship with Christ is spiritually dead. That's anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Gentiles, Jews, rich, poor, nice people, bad people. Paul's not just saying, he doesn't say in verse 1, it's like only the meanest of society were once dead. No, he's saying anyone who is without Christ is spiritually dead. No exceptions. No exceptions. And here's the problem. There are many, many people who believe that if they are just good most of the time, if they're just nice enough, if they give to charities, if they just go to some kind of church, maybe it's just they go to church every once in a while, maybe if they're a member of a civic organization, they do good for the town they live in, that maybe they will somehow get into heaven. There are still people that believe that. But the truth of God's word is this. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you are spiritually dead. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you are separated and alienated from God. It's the truth. If you were to die without Jesus, you will not spend eternity in heaven with Christ, but you will spend eternity in hell. That is Death Valley. You will spend eternity apart from Jesus. This is the truth. And I know this is like, just stay with me because there is good news. There's good news right around the corner right here. We're on a journey from death to life in Scripture. And right now Paul's saying we're starting right here. We're starting where everyone is without Jesus, and that is Death Valley. I know these are tough words to hear. We don't like to hear those kind of words. We don't like to feel uncomfortable, but this is truth. Without Jesus, we are dead. And we read these tough words in verse 1, but then Paul goes on a little farther, and he supports his statement. He supports verse 1 with verses 2 and 3, and he describes to us how those without Jesus live, okay? And if you are without Christ, this is going to ring true. And if you are in Christ, you will remember that this is how your life was and how you continue still to struggle with your old self, as Paul explains this. So look at verses 2 and 3. How do those without Jesus, are the spiritually dead, how do they live or how do they walk? Verse 2 and 3, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Okay, so he kind of goes like, anyone without Christ, you were dead. Now, this is how the dead walk. Okay, this is how they are moving around. And Paul describes the way that we walked while we were spiritually dead. Paul explains that those without Christ are under the power of three things. They're under the power of the world, they're under the control of Satan, and they're under the power of the flesh. Okay, so we're just going to walk through those briefly. So what's the first thing that Paul describes? He describes the world. Paul states this, in which you once walked following the ways of the world. The ways of the world are not of Christ. The ways of the world are actually controlled by Satan. Okay? As believers, we got to figure that, we got to walk, you know, we have the world constantly telling us how to live, right? So how do we know how we're supposed to live? Anyone want to guess? Yes, right here. We have. God gave us his word. He gave us truth. He allows us to know his word and then have this like incredible truth filter that so that when we hear the ways of the world, we're like, nope, that's not God's word. That's not the way we're supposed to do it. But those who don't know Jesus, they're just following everything they hear from the world. Now, the ways of the world are controlled by Satan. Now, if you were to ask a non-Christian if they follow Satan, most of them would say no, right? If you have that conversation with someone, you walked up and was like, do you follow Satan? Well, absolutely not. But here's that's the craftiness of Satan, right? He puts things in front of us that are sinful. A lot we find attractive and we pursue them. Those who are lost pursue those things. Those who are without Christ are dead and held captive to the value system of the present evil age, okay? So evaluate your life. What are you longing to be like? Are you longing to be like the world? Do you constantly pursue the things that are sinful? Are you being held captive to the media that is not Christian, to entertainment that is not Christian, to self-help books or blogs or podcasts that are not Christian? Are you seeking and pursuing? Are you being held captive to the ways of the world? Lost people are held captive. That's the way they walked before Jesus. A second thing that Paul describes here for those who are dead in their trespasses, those who are dead spiritually, is they are controlled by Satan. Okay, those are some big. We don't like to say things out loud like that, right? Right. Jesus called Satan in John 12:31 the prince of this world. Did you hear that? The prince. Don't we usually consider a prince something good, like the prince of this country, or we have this the idea. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. He is also called the prince of demons, the god of this age. Those who do not follow Christ follow Satan. Whoa! Wait! Nuh-uh. I don't go to a satanic church. I don't follow Satan, but here's the deal. If you don't follow Christ, guess what? You are an enemy of God. You are spiritually dead, and you are following the prince of this world, the ways of what he, the deception that he puts in front of us. You are following Satan. The third thing that Paul describes for those who are spiritually dead, the way the spiritually dead are walking around as they are driven by the flesh. Look at verse 3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Those who are spiritually dead not only sin because of the influence of Satan has on this world, but also on their own flesh. We love to live for ourselves. We love to seek the things that gratify us. Those who are dead, those without Christ, are under the power of the world. They're under power of Satan. They're under the power of their own flesh. And so Paul concludes this little section here as he's describing the spiritually dead. He says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. All people, Jews, Gentiles, were and are sinners by nature. We were born with a sin nature. We are guilty because of sin. And John 3:36 clearly states, whoever believes in the Son of God, the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. It's just clear. Those in Christ, and Jesus is the only way to salvation, not religion, not world religions, but Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you are over here. You are dead. You are following Satan. You are following your flesh. You are following the ways of the world. You will not see life, but instead you see the wrath of God. Apart from Christ, we are completely lost. We are completely dead. We are in Death Valley. We are in Death Valley. This is truth. But here you go. We're not leaving yet. I know it's getting warm out here, but we're not leaving yet because I want to give you good news, okay? Jesus wants to give you good news. God, the good news is right here. Paul does not leave it there. He's like, well, sorry for the bad news. He's like, okay, that is the truth. That's Death Valley, But let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about life in Christ. Look at verses 4 through 7. I know we just read this, but I'm going to read it again, okay? But God. Okay, so remember what Paul just did? He's like, you're dead without Jesus. If you're lost, you're following the ways of the world. You're following Satan. You're following your flesh. But look at verse 4. But God being rich in mercy. Being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By what? Grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show you the immeasurable riches of his what? His grace and his what? His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The journey from life, from death to life is accomplished only by the resurrection. It's only accomplished by the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of God's incredible love for us. Because he was so rich in mercy, he has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It is by this grace we have been saved. Oh my goodness. Now that's good news, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to say this. That's good news. Amen. That's right. That's why we stood up and we sang those songs. That's why we come back on Sundays. That's why we come back together and study God's word on Wednesdays. That's why we join together and we serve with each other. That's why we praise him, because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his kindness. This is good news. You do not have to stay in Death Valley. Thanks to the resurrection of Jesus, we can be made alive in Christ. Kent Hughes says this. He says, man is radically dead, and he can be saved only by the radicalness of resurrection. We celebrate this Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins on the cross, who was raised from the dead 3 days later. We praise and we sing these songs celebrating his resurrection. We celebrate this every time we gather for worship. And those of us who are Christians celebrate this because we know and we understand that we were completely and absolutely spiritually dead, and we have experienced the resurrection power in our lives. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have experienced the power of the resurrection in your life. And so this morning, you're in one of two places. There's no in between. There's no kind of good or kind of bad. There is only two places. You're either dead in your sins or you are alive in Christ. That's it. That is it. And you can walk out the door, and guess what? Satan will deceive you into thinking you're okay if you're dead. He will make you feel okay. He'll make you feel like, oh, I'm pretty good, especially compared to that person. He will deceive you, and the world will tell you things. This is the truth. God gave us his word. Jesus came because of God's love for us. He died on a cross, and he didn't stay dead. He rose again, and then all these people saw him. And his disciples, his apostles, continued to carry the name of Jesus, and most of them were martyred for their faith. Why would they do that if they didn't see Jesus and him say, go? This is truth. And the minute you walk out and listen to the world, Satan will try to deceive you. You're either in one or two places. You're either dead in your sins or alive in Christ, one or the other. And if you are dead, there's not an amount of self-help books or counseling or anything. Giving to charity, being good will not make you alive. You can't make yourself alive by trying to be good. The only way to be alive is to be made alive in Christ. That is the only way. And when we are made alive in Christ, guess what? We ascend to the mountaintop of life. What does he say? He says, and raised us up. That's why I love this picture. Death Valley, so low, dead. And then he raises us up, seating us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus on top of the mountain. Being made alive in Christ brings with it spiritual riches. He then blesses us so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I pray for many of us as Christians who are struggling. I know many Christians who are struggling with depression. many Christians right now that are struggling with anxiety, many Christians that are struggling with all sorts of stuff, I pray that you will be reminded of the power that you've already experienced. You have already experienced the resurrection power in your life. Be reminded of that power. Let God wrap his arms around you this morning. Be reminded of what he did on the cross, that he rose from the grave. Be reminded of that power. You don't have to live. You don't live in Death Valley anymore. You live on top of the mountain. That doesn't mean that we don't experience trials. James says you're going to experience trials, but those trials are going to actually increase your faith. So be reminded of that power. And for those who are lost, who are truly in Death Valley, I pray that you hear that there is good news, that you don't have to be dead. You can find life in Jesus Christ. This is good news. This is great news. I told you at the beginning that as a child, my parents took me to Colorado. We drove. We did the pretty classic, you know, we're going to drive there, we're going to look. And I remember as a child looking out the window, I remember seeing the tops of those mountains. And I thought, only very special people did that. That was never going to be for me. Like, that must be really hard to get to the top of one of those mountains. And I remember taking pictures of them, and I wondered what it would be like to stand on top of those mountains. I admired the beauty and the majesty from afar. But let me tell you, 16 years ago, I had the chance, the opportunity to climb my first 14,000-foot peak. And I'll tell you what that view is. You can't even imagine it. You cannot imagine it. You cannot imagine what it looks like. It's amazing to be sitting down there and looking at it and seeing it from afar, but to be on top of that and see what you see. Not a lot of people get to do that, but what an incredible thing that was. I never would have guessed that years later that I would be in a tent on the side of the mountain, a mountain in the Himalayas, on a mission trip. And unzipping my tent every day, I opened my tent and I peered across to the fifth tallest mountain in the entire world. Like, what an incredible view to be on the top and seeing and to experience that. It was completely different than just looking up. If you're a Christian, you're not just looking up anymore. You're not in Death Valley looking up saying, that looks pretty good. You're on top of the mountain because of Jesus. You're on top of the mountain. He's lifted you up. He's raised you up because of the power of the resurrection. You are on top of the mountain. You don't have to sit there and take pictures and wonder. You're there. And if you were lost this morning, you were struggling in Death Valley, and you know and you feel the call and you see the mountaintop and Jesus is calling to you, why would you walk out that door this morning and not want to run and race and be lifted up to the top of the mountain and find life? But because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, you have been made alive in Christ. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? I'm just asking the tough question. Are you dead in your sins? Are you following the ways of the world? Are you following Satan? Are you following your flesh? Or have you received God's grace? His unending grace. It's a gift. It's a free gift. You don't have to do anything. You just accept it in faith. Have you experienced the resurrection power in your life? Here's the good news. If you are dead, if you know you're in Death Valley, if you know it, and I'm not talking about, don't try to go back and remind yourself, like, did I fill out a membership card? No, you know if you're dead. Did I get baptized once in a church? I know I went to church a few times. Now, take all that out. Throw it away. You know if you're dead or not. You know if you're alive. You know if you're dead. If you are dead, guess what? There is resurrection power available for you who believe. Today, right now, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I'm going to give you some verses as we close this morning. God's truth, powerful, just straight from the book of Romans, just a reminder of who we are apart from Christ, who we are in Christ. Many of you know these verses, but I'm just going to read them and let God's word, let his truth, it's where the power is, right? Romans 3:23, for all, that means everybody, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us are born into sin. Everyone has sinned. If you sin one time, you are lost. You are dead. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us. And while that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. We're all born into sin, But Jesus came, and he died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. There's the good news. Now, here's what sin does for us. Here's what sin does to us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death, Death Valley. That's what sin does. We are born into sin. Anyone, all of us have sinned. We are in Death Valley. But here's the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's life. Romans 8:1. When you find life in Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Christian, be reminded of that this morning. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, only because of Jesus. So you're in Death Valley. What do I do? How do I get life? Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will. That's good news. That's good news. Death to life. I'm so thankful that at 8 years old, God called to me, and my mom would tell you that I hid under the pew for a little while. My wife would tell you that she ran from that too. I'm so thankful that in faith, I was saved. I was saved. I moved from death to life. Call on the name of the Lord this morning. Call on the name of the Lord. Find life. If you know you have life, if you have been saved, be reminded of the resurrection power in your life. Don't stay, don't pretend, don't walk around like you're dead. You have life. Let God wrap his arms around you. Be reminded of the power you have in Jesus Christ. You have victory. Now, some false teachings will say, well, then I guess we must be rich and wealthy and everything's perfect. No, that's not what the Bible says. It just means in trial, in suffering, in the hard times, you have Jesus. You have victory. In the good times, when things seem good in this world, you have Jesus. Be reminded of that resurrection power this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for rising from the grave, defeating death. Thank you that we can come, because of you, we can move from Death Valley to the top of the mountain, from death to life. I pray as we continue and as we close this service this morning, as we continue to worship, that in this song, that in this time, that we will use it to reflect that for those that know Jesus, that you will, again, we just have another chance to thank you through our voices to be reminded, and maybe to come and even pray and to thank you. But also pray for those that are here that know that they're in Death Valley, and they feel you calling on their hearts. I pray that they would not walk out that door and run, but they would find you, they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.